turning the practical into miraculous. And the condition that we're dealing with, we want to look practically, like, you know, almost 2,000 years after this book was written by Peter, which is the second book of Peter, starting in chapter 1, verse 8. We want to look at these verses practically. How do these verses affect us today? And so in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9 reads, "But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Verse 10 says, "Why, wherefore the rather, brothers, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." And verse 11 says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for these precious scriptures, for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, for the power and everything that you have already given us pertaining to life and godliness. We thank you for that, Father. And we ask you, Lord, that you will help us today to just bite off another nugget of what's in your heart, Lord. Lord, I know I have stuff here prepared to say, and I've prayed about it and thought about it, but we surrender all of this to you. And we ask you, Lord, that you would speak to us according to your will for our lives, that we might walk away from this place enriched, encouraged, and trusting you more than we did before we came. And we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We need the Lord. Amen. And so as we look at this condition, this is the condition that Peter, if we just, you know, just loop back just a little bit, the first letter of Peter basically was saying, man, this is why you're suffering. You're suffering ultimately that your faith is purified, because this is the most precious thing you have, is your faith. It's through your faith that you've been redeemed. It's through your faith that you've been translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's through your faith that you have peace with God. It's through your faith that you who were not a people are not a people of God. It's through your faith that you can enter into the holies of holies and inquire of the Lord and get help. It's through your faith that you can stand before God justified. That means made righteous. It's through your faith that you are no longer separated from the God that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's through your faith. It's not through your works. It's not through your goodwill. It's not through what you think. It's through a message that has come to you, and it has changed your eternal destiny. Period. Amen. Jesus said, "It is finished." The blood was shed. And that blood couldn't be shed by an animal that would perish. It was shed by the Holy Spirit, blood conceived in a man. The eternal promise came through eternal blood. Okay? So, and he said, listen, this message that you have heard is inevitably bringing you into trials and tribulations, because your flesh is in a world that's corrupt. And because you're in a world that's corrupt, your faith is going to constantly be tried. And those trials are going to come through relationships. It's going to come through setbacks. It's going to come through falls. It's going to come through revelations that challenge the very inner being of who you are. Those challenges are going to come, but they're coming for a reason. And that reason is so that the day you see Jesus Christ, it says you can stand before him without fear. It says that when you see him, you can rejoice at his coming. You will be in that number where it says they'll see him coming and they'll say, "This is the Lord." We have waited for him and he has returned. You won't be running for the rock saying, fall on us. Amen. We saved from the wrath to come by our faith. It's precious. It takes us into eternity, into a life, into the presence of a king who says, I'm going to wipe away all your tears. You're going to get a new body. You're going to be on this earth. It'll never fade away. This is it. This is the final deal with this whole sin and death thing. The one, your adversary, I'm taking him, I'm throwing him in the lake of fire. And all those false prophets that's got everybody all messed up, they're going in there too. And we're going to be done with this thing. Oh, and guess what? Death and hell, they're going in there too. He's trying to keep us centered on what's important. This is what it's all about, right? So it says, your faith, which takes you there, has to be tried, right? So that's first letter. That's first letter. So at the end of it, he says, at the very end of 1 Peter, he says, cast all your cares on him because he cares. He sees what you're going through. It hurts. You're lonely. You don't have enough. You're sick. Keep arguing with your kids. Your boss don't like you. Your fellow, all of this stuff, yep, is going on. But cast all your cares on the Lord because he really does care for you. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due season, he will lift you up. God's plan is for us and not against us. This very first chapter in 2 Peter chapter 1, he actually is going to give us, because what we talked about last week was there's a recipe. There's a recipe that takes us to this place where we're not unfruitful and we're not barren. And when I say not unfruitful, I'm not talking about this. It's this idea where being fruitful is something you can do. And then we try to determine what that fruitfulness is. The fruit is of God, for God, and from God, right? And it'll be what God wants it to be. Now, you can look at Galatians 5, where it says the fruit of the Spirit, right? And you can do your own research about what barren is. But barren is they saying, we don't want you to be not producing life. Jesus says, I'm going to speak a word to you. And what I'm speaking to you, I want it to be in you, a wellspring of what? Life. So he said, I don't want you to be barren. I want you to be full of life, even when you're surrounded by death. I want you to be full of joy, even when you're surrounded by sorrow. I want you to be dancing when mourning is everywhere around you. Right? That's the life. So he says, I don't want you to be barren or unfruitful. I want you to feel good about your life. So at the end of this recipe, he's saying, therefore, make your calling and election sure. Secure it, because it's a recipe for it. And all you have to do is follow the recipe. So in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, if you have your Bible so you can see it on the screen, he says, and beside this, chapter 1, yeah, he says, but... No, chapter 1. That's chapter 2, 2 Peter. That's okay. I'm going to let him get that. Last week I gave him the wrong information. And this is what he says. He says, Simon Peter, a servant of God, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Y'all remember what we said that meant? What did that mean? Like precious faith. Along with us. What did that mean? Y'all remember? Y'all are not getting any cookies after the service. I'm joking. I don't have any cookies.
The same as the disciples we see?
Right. He said, you guys that I'm writing this letter to, which means us sitting right here reading it, and every other person has read and believed it through Jesus Christ, he says, you have received the same kind of faith that we have. But how did they receive it? It's right up there on the screen. through the righteousness of God. So not through your righteousness, not through my righteousness, not through a good church or an organization, not through a great sermon. You received it through what God does, because all he does is what's right. We serve a righteous God. He does what's right. So you received it through his righteousness, not your own. Verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God. You say your knowledge, my knowledge, the pastors, the bishops, the popes, the presidents, the elite. He said through the knowledge of God. And who else? And of Jesus. So it looks like anything powerful and multiplied and abundant that's going to come to us don't come from us. Right? That's good, because I really can't do a lot. I need God, right? I mean, I got a lot of problems that I just can't solve. I got a lot of issues in my heart that I wish I could just, and they're gone. You know, like Thanos. Just be like, and it's gone. Can't do it. Some of them I done prayed, I done studied, I done fasted, but what we learned last week was we done learned to depend on ourselves too much for too many things. And we're doing the right things, but not believing the right thing when we do. Right? And so what we believe is when we look at this recipe in verses 5 through 7, let's look at that real quick. He says that your faith, which we said the key ingredient is our faith, which we know, and we'll look at that a little bit later. Our faith only brings in the one with the power to do anything. It's still not us. It's just our faith in the one who can do it, right? And so our faith is essential to add virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Verse, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, and because why? Y'all remember? Let's look at it. If you think about it, let's look at the recipe. So it says, this is the recipe. Add all of these things. And we said that we had to make sure that we weren't adding these things, not having faith in God, but believing that by us adding these things, that our work, you know, just, you know, do a little bit more praying and do a little bit more brotherly kindness and do a little bit more, and that will do it. Now, I know I got a daughter in here, Tamar. Tamar likes to bake. Y'all may not know this, but Tamar, she can bake if you ever need it. So you better get you some business cards, girl. So Tamar can bake. She bakes cakes. She bakes brownies. Brownies are her favorite to bake. But she bakes sometimes, and she like, I'll go in the kitchen, and she kind of just like, I'm like, what's wrong? We don't have any oil. And I might say something like, you know, I'm the quirky dad that you got to pray over my children that they're not traumatized all their lives by my corny jokes. I'll say, why don't you just use water? You can't use water. Use butter, right? Just use a different ingredient, right? But we all know, we get this, right? It's got specific ingredients for a specific outcome. And you got to use those ingredients or you're not going to get what you want, right? That's what we talked about last week. It's like, and we talked about how the reality is that when you bake in a cake, there's a cooking element, which is the oven, and then there's the fire, right? There's the fire, and we're not that. All we're doing is taking the ingredients according to the instructions, according to the words, following the instructions, putting it all together just like it says, and putting it in the oven. This recipe that we're looking at, that's all we're doing. The kingdom of God is the cooking element. What do you say? He said, whenever the kingdom is near you, you see people getting healed and delivered, right? And where the fire coming from? Right? The Godhead. Fire fell from heaven. I love this stuff, man, because it takes so much pressure off of us. It takes so much pressure off. It doesn't take it all off because we still have personal responsibility, right? But it does take the burden of the impossible off our shoulders. Some of us are carrying the burden of the impossible. And that's wrong. It will frustrate the daylights out. It will take the faith right out your heart because you can't do it. He says, hey, if you want this life flowing out of you, you don't want to be barren and unfruitful. You don't want to fall or keep falling and getting back up and trying again. He says, here's the recipe. So today, I just want to look at one illustration and prayerfully, God, help make this clear. One illustration. And I think, you know, I love like practical illustrations from the world and stuff like that. But sometimes some of the best illustrations are just Jesus, right? So if we can look at Luke chapter 17, I think, Jordan, you'll be able to get that up there. Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at what this interaction between Jesus and his disciples. And remember, what we're going to be looking at is today we're looking at who knows what the recipe is, how it works, and what it produces. So today we're just looking, we're not going to look at the righteousness of God till next week. Okay? Today we're going to look at the knowledge of God. All right. So then said to the disciples, it's impossible. Jesus said this to his disciples, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hanged about his neck and he would cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day, turn again to you saying, I repent, you should forgive him. We know in another translation, Peter had asked the question, how many times should we forgive? And he said, 70 times what? 70 times 7. 490 times. So you done got cussed out by the same person 490 times in a day. All right. They always leave a mess in your workspace. They always have an attitude. They loud, rambunctious. They always disrupt things, mess with other customers. And I mean, they just get on your nerves and they always cuss at you. It's just you. They're nice to everybody else. But you, they cussing at, right? But 490 times in a day, they stop and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know what was on my mind. Will you forgive me? Jesus says every time they ask you, forgive them. And I know we can intellectualize and rationalize that away, right? And say, well, it probably wasn't genuine. If you keep doing, you didn't mean. And right? Jesus didn't say any of that. The apostles said what? Increase our faith. They were recognizing the impossibility in their hearts through their own pain and interactions with people. They were understanding that, man, we have been hurt. Even as a people, we've been pummeled. Man, have you noticed what Pilate is doing? Have you checked out what Caesar is doing? Like, man, you want us to just forgive these people? He said, yeah, 490 times in a day. We said, Lord, we need you to help us with our faith. We know your word has come and said forgive, and we know that that's exactly what we need to do. But we need you to increase our faith. Notice what Jesus says after that. And it might seem like if you read this, it says, go ahead. He says, the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root and be cast, planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, stop right there. Right here is where we might feel like Jesus is talking about them not having faith, because he said, if you had faith. A better way to look at what Jesus is saying, because Jesus knew his disciples. So here's his knowledge in why he's saying these things to him. Jesus knows. Remember, through the knowledge of the Lord, you just look at that just in 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at what it says about the knowledge of God. He knew what their frailty was. He knew what their capacity was. But he also knew that they had faith. And so where he's saying, if you had this little bit of amount of faith, but he wasn't pointing out to them that you don't even have that much faith. He was showing them something totally different. Go to the story he tells, which might seem totally disconnected. First time in my life in studying this week, I saw the connection between him saying, if you had this much faith, and this story. And challenge me if you don't think it's connected. He says, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say to him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to eat? And would not rather say to him, as you is my servant, you go and prepare something to eat so I can eat, and get yourself ready, gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you shall say, you can eat and drink. All right, so are we all on the same page? He says, which one of y'all, if you are a master, would tell your servant to come in and serve them first rather than yourself? Right? He says, does he thank that servant because he did the things that that were commanded of him? He says, I don't think so. He doesn't thank him. He says, so likewise, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, shall say, we are unprofitable servants, and we have done that which was our duty to do. Jesus knew that there would be a temptation of his disciples to want to just get distracted by the power and forget where it comes from, and most importantly, why. So the whole sycamine tree was he was saying, all you need is faith, and the faith, a little bit of faith, is enough to activate getting a tree to pluck itself up by the roots and be planted in the sea. You don't need much faith for that. This story, he's saying, but even though you have that faith, remember, faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. He knew that if he didn't tell them that, listen, that sycamine tree, don't get tempted to desire going around plucking up sycamine trees and to try to insert my power where you want to insert it. He took them to the story of the servant and said, no, those servants, they should be doing what their masters say. And when they get done obeying, they get to eat. Don't get it backwards. How many of us have been frustrated with God because we've asked for God for something, not realizing that's not what he's after? And you running off the sycamine tree. Well, he said, if I say to the sycamine tree, pluck me plucked up. But do he want that sycamine tree plucked up by the roots and planted in the sea? Sometimes we are unaware that Jesus is teaching us something through these stories. He was teaching them, listen, the master comes first. It is the will of the master that is first. And the people that obey him should not be saying, I need to be thanked, and I need to be gratified, and I need to be coddled. They need to be saying, no, I have done what I'm supposed to do. You're the king. This is my duty. What did Solomon say? He said, man, I've seen the world flipped upside, turned on the side, and seen kings on foot and servants on horses, and none of it makes sense when you look at it. It'll probably make you angry. He said, but let's sum up the whole thing. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's what he said. No matter what you see out there, don't let any of that get you twisted up and messed up, because who can explain what's going on? Who really knows, right? But one thing we do know is who the king is. We know who the master is. And we know that he is faithful. And we know that we feed him first, then we eat. Even when Peter walked on the water, y'all, think about this. I've been thinking about this like all morning. I was walking around the house like, wow. When Peter walked on the water, he said, "Lord, tell me to walk on the water." He needed the word of God to come to him. See, this is Peter who wrote this. He's the one who's saying that there's a recipe that you got to follow. He said, give diligence to it. Because at the end, you'll be bursting with life. You'll be full of it. Overflowing. Peter is the same person that Jesus went out to on the boat. And he said, hey, Peter. Peter's washing his nets. He's probably singing, yeah, this was a great day. We're going to go home, cook this little bit I got. We ain't really got nothing today, but that's all right. God is faithful. Peter is the same one that Jesus came to him and said, hey, Peter, push your boat back out into the water and cast out your net. Let's catch something. Peter said, Lord, we done worked all day, man. Bro, it's time to pull it in. The sun's setting. It's over. It's done, all right? But Jesus knew something that Peter didn't know. Peter said what? He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will launch back out here and do the same thing I've been doing, trusting myself for a catch. Believing in my net and my skills and my experience and everything the elders have taught me about fishing, and my daddy taught me about fishing and bait. I'm gonna go back out here and do the same thing I've been doing, but this time I'm gonna do it trusting you. Broke his nets. That's how we ended last week. What thing can you do right now that you've been doing? I said I was going to try not to do too many challenges to y'all today, but just think about it. But anyway, what can you do? What same thing can you do? And this time, trust the Lord. God want to bust your nets wide open. The desire is very clear. Abundance of life. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking this means, I mean, for some of y'all I know right now, y'all see 26-inch rims. I'm getting them rims. With the gold grain, you know, the wood grain on the dash, right? The booming system. Well, for some of y'all, it's like, I can finally get that aluminum gate. I'm so tired of this wooden gate. Some of y'all is a promotion. Some of y'all is just more money. Some of y'all is like, look, I ain't gonna ever have to work again. I'm hitting the lottery. I'm going to play today. That's not what he's talking about. The life, the abundance that he's talking about supersedes what you can touch. You don't need it. Why would he say to people? He said, be ready. Y'all remember the scripture? He said, be ready to answer when they ask you. Now, if this worldly folks asking you, and you got a whole lot, I'm speculating here, but if this worldly folks asking you, where is your joy coming from? If you had a whole lot and they worldly, they would assume that, well, you got the big house and you got the big car and everything's perfect for you. You got the great job. You're at the corner office on the 95th floor on 95th Street and all of this kind of stuff, right? But these are people who are going to be looking at you like they looked at Samson, who people think was a big, strong man. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask Samson where his strength was coming from. If he was a big man, it's obvious he must have been puny. If they were asking, where is all this strength coming from? Right? And that's what God wants to do for you. Where's all this joy coming from? Where's all this peace coming from? How are you able to stand and do this? Why are you so happy? Some of us, Jesus knew that the disciples would want to be able to command sycamore trees. They would want to determine. Remember that he said, Lord, shall we call down fire? Like, that's not what we're doing. But that's the way they were thinking. Jesus is like, no, I have a totally different way of doing things. Some of us just think that the reason we're suffering and we're going through and up and down is because we're just so terrible. I don't see anywhere in the letters from Peter is saying anything about you being so terrible. It says, you are chosen people. Chosen, elect, precious in the sight of God. Precious. Worth dying for. That's who you are. It's something that Jesus knows that can unlock all that madness and chaos in your mind that makes you falsely misperceive God and see Him as angry and distant and ready to judge you and always seeking to punish you. And you can walk freely with Him as a child. Remember Ephesians 5, backdrop, Ephesians 5:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you walk with God as dear children. Somebody that's precious to God. Someone who's chosen by Him. Someone who gave you something that you couldn't get even if you tried. You don't have enough money to buy your forgiveness and you don't have enough sense to get His grace. It's true. The more we saturate our hearts in the grace of God for us, the more you start seeing, I got too much invested. I got too much of my energy, too much of my emotions, too much of my space and my mind invested to things that God is not concerned about. And yes, He says I have power, but I'm placing my power and my faith in the wrong things. And so because I want to command sycamore trees and I want to cause oaks to fall and I want to topple the government and I can't see my faith coming to action in what I think I should be praying for, I'm frustrated and I'm adding ingredients, but you know what? I'm not putting that patience in there. Okay, well, your cake gonna fall. He says, add the ingredients. Because what? They make you. Can we pull that up, Jordan? Jordan left. Y'all looking at that? I think he had to leave early. If you look at 2 Peter, this is so fun. 2 Peter chapter 5, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, I'm flying through it, patience, godliness, verse 7, and godliness, brotherliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Verse 8, he says, for if these things be in you and abound, do you know that they're not even going to abound by what you do? They're going to abound by the grace of God. Says if they abound in you, what does it say? They make you. That you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? Knowledge. The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knows our tendencies. He knows the path we need to take. He knows how much we can take. He knows how much we can't take. He knows every single thing about you to make you who you want to be. Not who you need to be, who you really want to be. He knew that about Peter. He met Peter. He said, "Peter, you fishing out here, but you're going to be a fisher of men." Peter dropped his nets and went with him. Along the way, Jesus kept identifying that leader in him. "I know who you really want to be. I know how you really want to stand. I know you don't want to fall. I know you love God. I know you got the faith. That's why I called you. Do you know you got the faith? That's why God called you." Some of y'all have already went that far to say, "I guess I don't have the faith." It's a lie. Remember Peter, up and down and back and forth, angry, trying to figure it out in his head. But one thing he learned to start doing, that's why he said, just listen to the Lord. Because his knowledge, listen to him. "I thought that it was time to stop fishing, but he knew that I needed to go back out there at his word. I thought that it was fire from heaven. That was the way we was going to deal with our enemies. But he knew that it was on the cross and shedding his blood. I thought that, man, if I just cut this dude's head off, we'll be through with this war. Jesus put his ear back on, healed him, and we won a different way. Everything I thought was wrong. My knowledge was futile." And that's why I'm telling you, you need to trust in the knowledge of the Lord. Situation by situation. And guess what? The first thing you need to know is if you cry out to him with all your heart, he'll answer you. Brothers and sisters, we're not trying to get saved right now. That's done. What we're trying to do now is bear fruit. Be full of life. Stop toiling in our souls and our minds, going back and forth, questioning who we are in Christ, when the Bible says everything, says right here in 2 Peter, everything that pertains to life and godliness, he has already given you by his divine power. It's done. That's worth rejoicing over. Sometimes it is just a matter of sitting down, looking at the scriptures, and taking them for face value and living according to those scriptures. Don't take the cake out of the oven prematurely. Man, some of us, this has happened, and I know this, and I want to just tell y'all this, and we're going to bring it out, all right? Some of us have gotten so close. The cake is in the oven. We done ruined about five of them. You know what I'm saying? We want another cake, all right? We got it again this time. We messed with it. We messed with it. It's just leave it alone. We picked in. It looks so good. And then in a moment of trial, we don't wait on the timer. It's a timer, right? But we just want to keep peeking in, right? I just want to see what's coming. And so that one last time we come to look and you can't see nothing. And you open it up. It's not what you want. And in a fit of rage, you slam the door. And everybody know what happened then, right? The cake fall. You got to start over. Do you know that God will let you start all over?
Yes.
The ingredients don't run out. They come from him. Virtue is not our idea. Patience is not our idea. You know what we would do, right? Brotherly kindness, that's not our idea. I mean, these are heavenly ideas that he's given us the power and the grace to add to our faith. We're not listening to this because we don't have faith. We're listening to this because we have faith. And he said, just add the ingredients. Leave it alone. Just leave it alone. I'm learning this myself, y'all. And I'm seeing the power of it myself. That's why I'm so excited. For so long, I have thought that it was what I was doing. That's what's going to change things. It doesn't. I have to do these things. I have to be obedient. But I can't trust in my obedience. I can't trust in what I'm doing. I have to trust in God who called me to do those things. right? So we relinquish today, Lord. Let's do it. We relinquish. Some of y'all have cleared your browsing history and changed your email addresses so you can stay away from illicit things that you're looking at. Some of y'all have accountability partners, and some of y'all have mentors and all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. For some of the stuff, some of the temptations some of us go through, nobody can help you. You can get around all that stuff. You need a miracle from God. You've been trusting that maybe if I do this, it'll change. Maybe if you trust the Lord, it'll change. Maybe if you obey and say, it's God who's going to change my heart. God is the heart changer. God is the one that can cause me to thrive in this chaos. Remember last week we said that was one of the four things. Speak that.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but there have been some areas in my life that I have desperately needed change, a miracle, healing, brokenness, surrender, things that I felt like I needed to do but couldn't find the strength to do it. And I had to just change who I was trusting in. So much more I could share about the outcome of this, but as it relates to my personal life. But I really want to start hearing from y'all. Some of y'all are struggling with things. You want to stop. You've been wanting to stop for a long time. Some of y'all have been pummeled by anxiety and fear and apprehension. And some of y'all have been pushed into a cave and to start to live not apart from God, but scared to come out and be who God called you to be, because you just don't know that what He knows is enough for you to survive. You can make it. I pray and speak blessings over your life today in Jesus' name. I pray that God helps you as much as I know I've needed help, if not more, which He will, because He said, I will do exceedingly abundantly more than you ask or think. Some of y'all are going in different directions with your life. You're thinking about your future. You're thinking about relationships. You're thinking about your kids. Some of y'all are dealing with resentment from the past. You're trying to get over the hurt from the things you did or didn't do or wish you had done. You're trying to deal with all of that. Man, God ain't in none of that mess. God is right now. Now faith is. It starts today. Let it go. And grab hold of the unchanging hand of God and say, I don't care how long this situation been going on, God can start right now. Amen. Amen.